let's go on an adventure. Let's go on it together. Let's go on an adventure. Ba 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 shoo ba 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 up, yeah. Let's go on it together. I did it, did it, did it, did it.
Like, I think he's like, I gave him the ship, and he's just steering it straight for. Oh. And he's.
And now I am the captain of the ship.
Oh.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Musical Chairs of Massachusetts, coming at you live from the chair city of Gardner, Mass. We like to feature and showcase local area musicians of all genres and provide them a platform to get them heard all over the world. So I'm Nikki. I'm joined by this character, Chris.
Hello. Hi, guys. How are you? Thank you for tuning in. And we all love you, except for you. No, we love all of you.
We tolerate you.
We tolerate
you. No. Yes. I love you guys. I tolerate him.
Yeah, that is true.
I tolerate him.
That's 100% true. Yeah. So, guys, thank you again. We have an incredible show. We have a couple firsts. You know, I always love our shows when we have firsts. You know, and we keep coming up with firsts. So
yeah, I mean, what, we're about 10-ish months into this now, and it's like, obviously everything was a first for a while, so now, you know, we've been seeing and encountering some stuff, but sometimes, you know, we get that one kind of curveball that, all right, here's a thing that was not on my bingo card, but it happened, so.
I'm waiting for, you know, a clown band.
Nope. Remember, I'm the one that's in charge of booking here,
I
dude.
I know.
Nope.
I just want to
do my research.
I just want to get something weird.
Weirder than you?
It's possible.
Stay weird, friends.
Stay weird. But in all seriousness, I am so excited for our guest today. I have known this gentleman for quite a while. He's been a part of the music scene in and around Massachusetts, New Hampshire.
Even up by New York?
Yeah, everywhere. I mean, he's just everywhere. And incredible songwriter. Just fantastic. So, guys, I encourage you to watch this whole thing. I encourage you to watch the show in general.
All of our shows, all of the things.
All of it. But in the meantime, yeah. So Christmas just went by. Can you imagine Christmas? Like, by the time Christmas rolls around and you go into the Walmarts,
Valentine's Day is already there.
Yeah, all the Christmas stuff is either, all the good Christmas stuff is either gone or in the clearance aisle, and it's the stuff that you don't want, like you don't need, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's the leftover shit.
Yeah. It's like the gift wrap paper that has pictures of, like, I don't know, clowns or something. It's like,
what is with you and clowns right now? Where are you going with this?
I am clowning around.
You are a clown.
I am a clown. But seriously, yeah. So, but I hope you had a good Christmas. I know, it's Christmas. But I hope Santa was good to you. Was Santa good to you?
I mean, I wasn't a total degenerate this year. I think I reeled it in pretty good. So yeah, I didn't have a bad Christmas. How about you?
Oh, so I got a present that, you know, it was a nice big box.
Is it a gift that keeps on giving?
It is the gift that keeps on giving. I opened it up and it was just full of coal.
At least it'll keep your house warm.
Yes, exactly. it sells, actually. You know what? Random fact. Coal is expensive. So if you have coal, like, you can, and you don't need it, you can sell it and, like, make some money. Like, I don't know. It's crazy.
All right. So that's your get-rich-quick plan, huh?
Yeah. Fossil fuels, kids. but you know, it was a good, it's always a good Christmas, and it's always good to be surrounded by family and friends, but now that that's over, we can look forward to 2025, a whole new year.
Boop, 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 boop.
A whole new year.
No. That ain't it.
She muted me!
That ain't it.
Well, anyways,
Do you have any resolutions or anything?
Conquer the world. No,
world domination has just always been the life goal. But
yeah,
do you have any New Year's resolutions coming up for 2025?
That's a good question. I'm kind of thinking more musically. I think 2025 we need to step up our game and bring Led Zeppelin back out of retirement. No.
Well, that's a big one.
That's a big one. But no, I, you know, resolutions are they're phony.
No, that's only those people that I'm going to get fit and then they flood the gyms for like a month
and then
and then it goes back to normal again. But no, right, other than that, that's, I think resolutions are a good thing.
No, they're good. I'm really proud of the resolutions that I made in 2000 this past year. Cause I feel
you had a hell of a year. Like personally, I'm not going to get into it obviously, but I've seen so much growth personally for you, and you've accomplished a lot, and honestly you should be proud of yourself.
Oh, thank you, Nikki. Yeah, I'm used to having a lot of growth in the waist, but this year it was personal growth, so I appreciated that.
Didn't go unnoticed.
Thank you. Yeah, it's life throws you a lot of curves, but sometimes we just have to make our own path and trudge through and be consistent, don't give up. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to life, sometimes it's good to write about it. So speaking of such, we have, again, our guest who is a fantastic writer, just songwriter. She's telling you, I am so excited. But yeah, so... I was just saying that, life happens. I could be in the worst traffic whatsoever, just absolutely having the most miserable time, and I could be listening to our guest's music, and it'd be fine. Everything'd be fine. I mean, really, with all the difficulties that I have had and you have had, I think it's safe to say that this show and the music that we've been able to enjoy has been great free therapy. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's just something about connecting with other people. And then, of course, music is just therapeutic in general. And so I like to think of the studio as my happy place for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. We're spoiled because we get to have our own little private concerts, and this episode is just no different. But we are so thankful that we can share it with you guys. So without further delay, get right into it. Why don't you go ahead, Nikki, and introduce our next guest.
Yeah, and before I even do that, Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
This upcoming year is the best one yet for y'all.
We wish you nothing but the best.
All right, let's hop on into this thing. Ian Gallipo is a folk rock songwriter for hopeful cynics, crafting happy, sad music about the gray areas, exploring themes like the bittersweet nature of love, the flickers of hope amidst catastrophe, and the optimism found in surrender. Ian's songs often defy simple categorization like a simple love song or a breakup. Whether reflecting on writer's block, the nostalgia of parenthood, or channeling the voice of a Ray Bradbury character, his work consistently reveals unexpected layers. Based in Keene, New Hampshire, Ian has been focused on his solo project since 2018. In that time, he has shared the stage with a variety of regional acts, including Arc Iris, Dietrich Strauss, Belle Skinner, and Ian Fitzgerald. His collaborations include co-writing with Katie Tupin of Handmouth fame. Ian has released two sister EPs, Raise Rise, in March 2018, a full-length album, Like We Were Never Here at All, in September 2022, and a series of singles and an EP throughout 2023 and 2024. With nearly 200 shows under his belt across central New England, from Troy, New York to Portland, Maine, Ian is passionate about fostering the local music scene and has dedicated the last 2 years to curating a playlist showcasing incredible talent from the region. his upcoming album, Faded Pictures, is set to release in early 2025. Outside of music, Ian cherishes his life with his wife, a former music teacher, and their two young daughters. Welcome to the studio, Ian.
Thank you so much, Nikki. It's my pleasure to be here.
I did it.
Great job. Thank you for coming down, Ian. This is awesome. You know, Ian, I've known you for quite a long time. My daughter has had the pleasure of being a student of your wife, Allie, there. So, you know, awesome. I've got to see you at a lot of, you know, functions at the school.
My wife was a music teacher, middle high school music teacher where Chris's daughter went to school.
Right.
For 11 years she taught there.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so it's funny, a lot of places, you know, because I'm a performer, people know Allie is Ian's wife, but in this area, I am Allie's husband. And I love it.
It's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I've known right away from the very beginning how just incredibly talented you are, and I want to go ahead and kind of start things off from the beginning. You know, I feel as though that music has been a big solid part of your life for quite a while. But when did it first start? When did music intersect into your life?
You could say I exist because of music.
Nice.
My dad was a professional musician from before he finished high school until a couple years after my brother and I were born.
Wow.
He met my mother as a performing musician.
Wow.
Right? So it's kind of always been there. My dad and my uncle were in a band. And so for me, in terms of when it started to resonate and when it started to mean something, I picked up guitar because that's what our 7th and 8th grade music curriculum was.
Okay.
I grew up in 7th and 8th grade general music. You picked guitar or keyboard, and that was your class time. Let's figure out the instrument.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
And so I started playing in whatever, 7th grade, 8th grade. I think the first song I learned that is a song was Good Riddance by Green Day. Like, it was so cool.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a great song.
It was so cool in the early 2000s to be playing that song.
At least it wasn't like Smoke on the Water.
I mean, that was obviously there, right? We all learned Smoke on the Water first. But in terms of a real song I could play through, it was like that. And then I kind of set it down. I was like, this is cool. My hands like it. Like, I was decent at it. But I didn't have big enough feelings as a 13-year-old to process. And then my good friend, my best friend in high school, bought a drum kit on a kind of a whim. And we were like, all right, we're starting a band. And turns out he really, really was not all that as a drummer. But the bug caught for me at that point.
Yeah.
Right? Doing like bad Nirvana imitations. Because that's what I was into at the time.
Yeah.
And so I was around 16 the first time I really sunk my teeth into learning guitar. And started performing about a year later at like high school talent shows and things.
Yeah.
And it's been 20 years since that. I'm 36 now. So
Wow.
Been at it for a bit.
Yeah, and it definitely shows like the quality of the music. I love your songwriting. The lyrics, it's just it's really beautiful.
Thanks, Chris. I think as a guitarist I plateaued around 22.
Yeah.
So I haven't gotten much better in the last in the back half here, but my songwriting is my favorite thing.
Yeah,
it's beautiful because it's cathartic, right? You can write in the moment that you're feeling whatever it is,
right?
And then you can come back and reflect within it. And sometimes the song comes out fast, and in 20 minutes you have the whole song. And sometimes there's a song that I wrote the first verse of when I was 19, that I finished about 2 years ago.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Because I just didn't have the tools to do it at the time, right?
Sure.
So there's songs that have taken me 15 minutes to finish. There's songs that have taken me 15 years to finish.
Yeah.
And just this puzzle of, I've got limited real estate in a song, right? You've got maybe 3 minutes unless you're going full Bob Dylan, and then you've got 7 minutes, and that's even then. That's not a long time to tell a story and capture some feeling completely. And the interplay between lyrics and melody and chords and how all these things fit together to make an emotional experience that connects with me and connects with the people who are listening to me is just, it's my favorite. Like, I love writing from feelings, from prompts, from anything. It's just I like puzzles. This is the best puzzle I've ever found, ever. There's nothing even close.
And but how special is that when you invest that emotion into that song? And it's so personal. It's like from a personal experience. And then you perform it out there, and then people are like, I get it. Like, they can connect to that song. Like, it's just a, you know, just a surreal experience to, you know, have that almost like intimate connection spiritually from the musician to the crowd. It's just really, really special.
It's special. I mean, I've been on the receiving end of it plenty of times too, but as the performer, it really is. There's nothing more meaningful than seeing or hearing from people that some words that I wrote for me moved them and applied to their life and helped them through something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I actually, I was judging the songwriter contest this past Tuesday at the Otter River Pub. And it was kind of cool that one of the artists gave me like a backstory to the song. And he was like, yeah, I picked up the songwriter book. And there was like different prompts and stuff to, you know.
Yeah.
And this particular thing was like, find an inanimate object near you and write a song about it. And he wrote the song about a tape measure.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was beautiful. Because he took, you know, measure. Mm-hmm. But not only is it like, here's a thing on a reel that, you know, but also like the measure of time, the measure of like, he totally flipped it and all that stuff. So like you were saying, like, give me a prompt, give me your whatever. Like, it's just, it's crazy how you can take that prompt and you can
craft it. Once you die, it seems like mundane. Like, you tell someone, I wrote a song about a tape measure. And like that is interesting because it's odd, but really commit, when you commit to, I'm going to explore this thing that seems mundane.
Right.
And how can it be interesting? Because
you can go so many different levels with that.
You can make it beautiful. You can make someone cry about a tape measure. And that's like, that's magic, right?
That is magic.
That's you're, and it's limit. It's not, I won't say it's limited to songwriting as an art form, but it
unless you're writing poetry.
Songwriting and poetry are kind of unique. You could probably like stop motion animate a movie about a tape measure, but it's still different than exploring the metaphor built into this man-made object. I don't know. I love it. I love that kind of puzzle. And like I said, when it's personal reflection, it's amazing. And when you're exploring something you don't think is interesting and it becomes interesting, it's equally amazing to me. Like, I love all of it.
Yeah, no, and that stuff's great. I bet you Pixar could make me cry over a tape measure.
I believe that.
You know, there was a little toaster in the
plane. Brave Little Toaster. Yeah, that was Inside Out.
That is such a dark movie.
I know, it really is.
I loved the Brave Little Toaster as a kid. That was like the thing in the early 90s, that late 80s.
Yeah.
And like, I just watched the preview of it, and I was like, oh man, this is all coming back to me. And this is sad.
It's different.
This is dark.
Yeah. So, you had like the vacuum cleaner running over his cord. You had that air conditioner that was just mad at the world, shooting out ice cubes and stuff. I actually learned, because something came up about that show, I'm like, man, I haven't seen that movie in forever. So the original Brave Little Toaster, due to licensing, you cannot find it streamed anywhere.
No,
you can do like,
really?
There's like the ones, the spinoffs that came after.
You have to go find the eBay DVD.
I bought the DVD for $5 off of Amazon to watch it, because I'm like, I used to love this movie. But yeah, the spinoffs after the fact you can stream, but the original one, you can't. You can't find it anywhere. Unless it's some like pirated, somebody sitting at the movie theater with a camera, you know, thing on YouTube.
Wow.
But it's funny how, you know, the movie industry has obviously made it so that you can get attached to an inanimate object. But, you know, that's the beautiful part about music lyrics is that you can really do some incredible exploring with creative songwriting and get people you know, hooked into anything you're writing about these days. So, and I think with you, Ian, you've done a terrific job with crafting those the lyrics to your songs. They're really beautiful songs.
Thank you, Chris.
There's my segue.
There you go. Yeah, would you like to play a song for us?
Yeah, you know, this wasn't a song I was thinking about playing, but it is now. We're gonna do this.
Oh, okay.
So last September, I gave myself a challenge as a songwriter to write a song every day for the month of September.
Okay.
Wow. Finish a song before I got in bed. And you just accept that some of them are going to be terrible. And a couple of them were. But more of them I liked than didn't, which kind of surprised me. Because I've never been that prolific.
Was it like stuff that you encountered throughout your day or something that sparked a thought or something during the day?
I found, right, you write like the love song or whatever on day one. And then a sad song. But, you know, you've run out of those basic kind of self-prompts of like a love song that's this, a driving song. you've run out of those by a week. And then you're just looking at every single thing. For how can this be a song? And I'm looking for it early in the day because I got to finish it before I get in bed. This is one of those songs that I wrote during my September challenge. It is called A World So Small. It's about a tree in a parking lot. On her own small island in the asphalt sea of gray, does she feel the loneliness that I would feel in her place? Do the starlings tell her secrets? Woodland whispers on the breeze. Or mycorrhizal messengers bring her news from underneath. To know another, roots entangled, reaching down, branches stretching toward the sunlight, sharing life without a sound. Or does she feel each new day dawning, blissful, easy, unaware? She's living in a world so small and drunk on the exhausted air.
Never felt so attached to a tree.
Right?
Wow.
Converting new tree huggers one at a time.
That's right.
What a beautiful song, man. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's I'm telling you guys.
Thank
wow.
You.
Yeah. Thank you for that. No,
and that was
you.
Written in a day.
That's crazy, right?
I will yep. Come clean. That song was written in a day, but it was written like oak tree on her own small island in the. I didn't figure out the finger picking part. How do I mimic my melody? Until after, so I arranged that little bit. But I wrote the lyrics and
the roots
everything.
Were there.
The lyrics and the melody and the chords were all there. I did not figure this out for a little bit.
Okay, so then when you said you challenged yourself, you know, you wrote the song obviously, but. Were you also taking it a step further of how am I going to put music to this, or was it, here's a song I wrote and I'll figure out the music after?
No, I mean, the music is all there. There are songs that I write all the words and then I write the music, and I don't consider it finished until there's music attached to it. Right.
Okay.
So
yeah, okay.
It existed and I was playing simple guitar underneath it. I wasn't playing complicated guitar underneath it, but the melody needs to be there and the chords need to be there and the words need to be there.
Helps all tie it together. That makes sense.
Yeah.
What would you say some of your biggest musical influences are?
Big influences on my music. See, you sent me some questions and I have to write my answers down because I just am stupid. And I'm not stupid. My memory is not very good. I can play, 150 songs from memory if I have the list of songs that I know in front of me. If I don't, I'm like, I can think of 3 songs right now. I can't do it. And so I wrote some of this down. But in terms of musical influence, there's like the early stuff, right? The things that I was listening to in my formative years before I was even a musician. It's still there, right? It leaks in. And so early things were 90s alt rock very much for me. The first albums that I bought, they were cassette tapes.
Yeah.
At Ames.
Oh, there's a name I haven't heard in a hot minute.
I bought cassette tapes at Ames and I bought 3 albums and the Goo Goo Dolls.
Nice.
Dizzy Up the Girl.
Yeah.
The Wallflowers.
I had that one too.
The Wallflowers Bringing Down the Horse album.
Yeah.
Third Eye Blind self-titled album. Ooh, those were formative for me. Yeah. And actually, Hanson's Middle of Nowhere was an early one as well.
Oh, okay.
I remember that.
Tracy Chapman was an artist I fell in love with as a kid.
Yes, me too.
Really enjoyed. So that's like some early stuff before I was playing. You just still hear those roots in my music. Whether I've never tried to write a Goo Goo Dolls song, but it's there. I know it's there.
Yeah.
The melodic sensibility of Johnny Resnick.
Yeah.
In general, artists like, let's see, Randy Newman was a discovery for me about 10 years ago.
I love Randy Newman.
I grew up with Randy Newman was "You've Got a Friend in Me," which is a great song. But he was the Toy Story guy,
right?
And then I'm a big Ben Folds fan as well. And I read in an interview where Ben Folds had said that Randy Newman was like top among his influences. And I was like, wait a second. That's not because he wrote songs for Toy Story.
Yeah.
And
He also gets dark, though.
Ben Folds? Randy Newman?
No, Randy Newman. Yeah, Short People song.
Right? Like, It's this ridiculous call out of racism in a metaphor of how ridiculous is this? And it's beautiful. So I delved into his solo career, like as a songwriter. I knew Short People, but that was it.
Yeah.
And that's a song.
I just was floored by this guy.
That's the Toy Story guy.
Toy Story guy. And he's exploring Good Old Boys, like this whole album.
Of
that's written from the perspective of these racist Southerners or little criminals. Like there's a song from the perspective of a serial killer.
Yeah.
And just, there's this incredible, his writing is beautiful.
But then you're like, ouch, right in the childhood, you're the Toy Story guy.
Yeah, there's that too. But yeah, Randy Newman's huge for me.
There's a whole world with Randy Newman that people don't realize. Like you said, like I started listening to this and I was like, what? Like, this is great.
It's amazing. And he's also a film composer and he scores all of it, right? Like, there's so many dimensions of Randy Newman and I just really appreciate him as a songwriter.
Nice.
The Bens for me, Ben Folds, as I said, Ben Gibbard from Postal Service and Death Cab for Cutie. Big influences in terms of what you can do lyrically. Ben Queller was an inspiration for me in terms of thinking melodically.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Anais Mitchell, if you know her, you may not. She's an incredible artist. She wrote Hadestown, which has become a Broadway musical.
Oh, okay.
Incredible songwriter from Vermont. The Milk Carton Kids are another folk artist that I really love. They're kind of the comparison they get as a folk duo is, of course, Simon and Garfunkel.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can definitely hear those influences. A little part of each one
pieces. I mean, there's so much music that I love. I tried to restrict my list to like artists that I've stolen from or borrowed from.
Right.
We all steal. And then I would be remiss if I didn't mention some local inspirations as well.
And
artists that, from the New England scene over the years that have influenced me. Darling Side is a band from Central Massachusetts.
Write this down.
Yeah,
the most, I mean, they're unfortunately bigger than your podcast.
But yeah.
Listen, the sky is the
limit.
The
sky is the limit. Right now, they're amazing. Ian Fitzgerald is from Providence, Rhode Island, and I've certainly borrowed from him. And then there were some bands when I was in college, like college mates of mine that I've borrowed and stolen from for the last 10 years. The Lake and the Lion, a guy named George Barber, the 123s, my friend Jordan Reynolds. Like being in that scene at that time at Keene State College was huge for my musical development in terms of, it wasn't competitive, but just like, wait, you can do that? Hold on a second. How do I do that? Right? There's just this wonderful collaborative atmosphere of being in a community. And those are certainly influences that have affected my music.
And we'll be right back after these brief messages.
In 2025, be on the lookout for Derek D. Acoustic's upcoming album, Ashes to Acoustics, The Sonic Revival. Throughout the year, Derek will be releasing several singles, leading up to the full album release, which will include a few extra tunes just for you. Ashes to Acoustics features live acoustic covers performed at open mics at the Otter River Pub, recorded by Soundbites, Events, and Open Mics. You'll find them on all streaming platforms, so make sure you follow Derek at Derek D. Acoustic to stay updated on these releases. Enjoy Ashes to Acoustics, The Sonic Revival in 2025 and beyond.
And now back to our show. So you mentioned that you're, you know, went to Keene State.
I did.
Yeah. And, you know, I find that Keene is what you would expect a true New England town to be. It's such a great college town. But the music scene out there is also just incredible. A lot of talent out there. So I'm sure that helped influence your growth as a musician.
It very much did.
Yeah.
Being in a community where there were options, you know, places to perform live and lots of people attending live music performances. And lots of musicians who want those slots. Like, it makes you focus in on your craft and see what other people are doing really well.
Yeah.
Which is important. It's just a very different world. Like, figuring out how to be good live and how to engage with people and how to support and be part of a community is so big as a musician. Like, yes, that's what it's all about. There is money in streaming. It's not for artists like me.
Yeah.
It's not for artists that are on, not, you know, what would have been MTV artists 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no money in it. And it's all about building a community of people that you relate to, because it's so saturated, right? 100,000 songs every day come out on Spotify. 100,000 different songs a day.
It's crazy.
There's no
pennies on that. So think about that.
And
yeah.
Right. You don't make anything on your song if it gets less than 1,000 plays a year. There's not even a monetization on it.
Yeah.
And you can't blame Spotify for that.
Right.
Like, I get it. But yeah, it's all about building a community and relating to people, and that collaboration and sense of belonging that comes from that.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because the streaming revolution has, I believe, really altered our music industry in a very dramatic way.
Dramatically.
Yeah.
You know, an album, like a vinyl album, you'd pay $35 for or whatever.
Right.
To make that same contribution toward an artist's pocket, you would need to stream their songs 9,000 times.
Oh, wow.
9,000.
That's insane.
As opposed to buying, you know, and I don't buy vinyl. I do buy CDs, and I pay for albums on Bandcamp.
Yeah, yep.
And I don't even listen to them on Bandcamp. I still listen to them on Spotify. But just to say that you matter is like a big thing for an artist. Because 9,000 times, you'd have to spend like 50 days just streaming one artist's set of songs to equal what they would have made 15 years ago on the purchase of that song.
That's insane.
It's so, right? Music is ubiquitous. You can listen to 4,000 artists a year if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool.
Yeah,
but it also, it's different, and it's harder as an artist, right? It's so saturated.
Yeah, and you know, I've seen the musicians that are out there that are trying to either make a living or make some money back. You know, they've had to switch up their whole game plan rather than, you know, selling CDs, selling albums, or getting try to get a contract with a record label. You know, they're going out to the gigs. They're going out to play the live shows.
Yep.
You know, and yeah, it's a definitely a different world. Sure, the streaming platforms allow you to get more exposure, but you know, you're going to be one of the very few lucky ones out there that if you're able to make a living off of that.
Right.
Yeah. And there's just so much talent. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so competitive. But that's why, you know, you mentioned, you know, why networking is so important. You know, I'm sure the community up there, the music community up in Keene, is just supports each other. You guys are yeah. Oh, that's great. It's important. You know, that's great. Nikki, you have a question?
I do. Can you share a moment where you think you made a significant impact on someone's life through your music?
Oh,
that's always a good one.
So, yeah, I love to talk about this, and I'm gonna disguise names here.
Sure.
But one of the most profoundly affecting moments for me as a musician. I'd written this song with my friend John, and he'd come to me with this mashup of ideas, and there were lots of ideas, and we were both kind of out of our element in terms of it was this song about a soldier who, you know, comes back wounded from war and gets addicted to painkillers, and it's like, this is sad,
that's
man.
Deep.
It's dark, yeah. And there were so many ideas, and it was messy, and we worked on it for months to, like, how do we fit all of this into the real estate of a song? And even when we finished it, it was like, I don't know how to play this, John. Do you know, like, how do we perform this?
What type of audience do you perform this for?
Do you know how to perform this? And he's like, I don't think I could ever sing as this character. I don't think it's, like, I don't know how to do it. And so I put it in my back pocket. And I loved the song. I was proud of the song. I thought it really swung for the fences. And I felt like it was a home run. It's hard to find the audience to play this song for, right? It
yeah.
is. And one day, I was running out of material that I wanted to play in a 3-hour set at a brewery. And I saw a guy at this set with a Marine's hat on, younger guy.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm going to play this song. And by the end of the song, like, I watched him stand up from his table and pace. And he came up to me at the end of the song, this former Marine,
yeah.
with tears in his eyes, and shook my hand and thanked me.
I have chills right now.
And I've since become friends with this guy.
Oh.
And on more than one occasion, veterans, after I that convinced me that I'm allowed to perform it. Like,
yeah.
It's not my story, but I respected this story, and I did my homework, and we assembled it in a way that was meaningful to a guy who lived it.
Wow.
And I've played it, and I've had a handful of veterans thank me for this song.
I have goosebumps right now.
It's dark. It's heavy, but it's...
Is this a song that you wouldn't mind performing for us?
I'll play it for you guys, yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Well, that's great. I was actually supposed to say, hey, can we have a song?
Yeah. I love... Yeah, why not?
This is called Soldier's Lullaby.
My name is Raymond, but I go by Russ. Truth is, I don't remember too much. Did a 6-month stint in Kandahar till a bullet shattered my left arm and they packed me up, sent me home. And my high school sweetheart spent a year by my side, waiting patient for the bones to heal up right. The wires crossed inside my head were a circuit that she couldn't mend, so she packed up and headed home. And it's ringing in my ears as her words hang in space. Oh, you're still alive by God's good grace, but I'm back bleeding in the sand every time I close my eyes, living in this soldier's lullaby. VA doctor said I'm fixed, good as new. looking at an x-ray, just his version of the truth. But those Percocet he gave away, sweet capsules made of pure escape, they lift me up, they bring me home. And it's ringing in my ears as his words hang in space. Oh, you're still alive by God's good grace. I'm back bleeding in the sand every time I close my eyes, living in this soldier's lullaby. Pharmacy cut me off as winter turned to spring. I found a friend who said that he could keep the angels singing. A simple prick and I could fly beyond these fractures in my mind. Wrap me up, bring me home. And it's ringing in my ears as I'm floating in space. Oh, you're still alive by God's good grace. But I'm back bleeding in the sand every time I close my eyes, living in this soldier's lullaby. Sometimes I wonder if you'd love me better dead, falling in a combat zone instead of left out here to beg. I'd be draped under your sacred flag, not frozen in a sleeping bag. Wrap me up, send me home.
Wow.
What a powerful song. I can fully understand why.
I'm trying to see if the camera can capture, like, I have legit goosebumps right now.
Like, it's not easy to make a Marine cry. You know?
Wow.
But I can understand why now. Wow. That's like, that's incredible. That's incredible. And again, that how long did that take to come up with?
Like I said, my friend John, it had this stream of ideas, but they weren't particularly coherent.
Right.
There weren't lyrics. And so we morphed it into, we had a couple of verses that first day that we sat down to work on it.
Yeah.
And I worked on it over the following weeks, and we'd figured out what the rest of the verses kind of were. And the chorus, that refrain, is what took the most time, because we had a refrain that was kind of a placeholder, and it made sense at the beginning of the first chorus, but it didn't really make sense for the rest of the song.
Yeah.
And so it took me another 6 months of just sitting with it, and, you know, it wasn't the only thing I thought about, but coming back to it periodically to say, how do we replace these words? That the melody of the chorus was there, but
yeah,
how do we fix it, right? And sort it out. And that took another few months. So that song was probably 5 or 6 months in the making, from conception to performable. And then it was another 6 months before I felt comfortable playing it.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of words, but also, again, because I didn't think it was my story to tell. But that's something I've come to terms with as a writer, is like, as long, most novelists are not writing their exact life.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan was never a boxer, right? Like, the Hurricane is a story song. It's like,
that's such a great way of putting it, though.
Yeah,
and so, and Johnny Cash never went to Folsom Prison except to play his Folsom Prison song, right? So, you can write these things, but you need to respect the subject matter. You can't just hack it out and be like, oh, this is a song about domestic, whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It needs to be respectful, but it doesn't need to be your story.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you can be the voice of, to get somebody else's story out.
That's all it feels like, because I don't know.
Be a voice for someone.
This is a horrible statistic that I learned as I was writing that song. Veterans from post 9/11 wars commit suicide at 5 times the rate that they actually die in combat.
What do they say? 22 a day?
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's like 5,000 have died by suicide, or 5,000 died in combat, somewhere around there, and 25,000 have died from overdose or suicide.
It's insane.
Like,
yeah,
we're not taking care of these guys. And again, it's not my story, but it kills me.
Yeah.
And
And it brings awareness to that. It's
at the very least.
At the very least.
That's
right?
It. Just, you know, I don't have the solution, but I'll call you out.
Yeah.
I'll raise awareness for you.
Right, exactly.
If it makes your voice heard and can, you know, do something for you,
mm-hmm.
why not use your platform?
Yeah, there you go. 100%. 100%. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to it.
Yeah,
definitely. It was beautiful.
I first played that at a brewery, but it's not a song I break out on the brewery circuit.
Yeah.
Right. That's about, you know, it comes back to read the room, know your audience type deal.
Right.
So, I guess let's lighten the mood a little bit now.
That would be good.
Could you tell us like something crazy you've ever encountered or experienced at a gig? You're already laughing. Here we go. Yeah.
Laughing, coughing.
Nikki, you killed him.
Oh, I'm man. Just trying to make light here.
No, this is a great segue.
Okay.
Every you guys talk to musicians all the time. You know every musician has crazy gig stories. Yes. I feel like I have more than my fair share.
Oh, boy. Feel free to mention two.
the gigs. So I've been playing in bands for a long time. Like I said, I started performing when I was around 17 and played in rock bands mostly, not solo,
okay.
up and through college. And so I was in a rock band with my brother and a friend who was the drummer, and we'd played this place up in very northern New Hampshire. It was called the Bull Moose Lodge.
Oh,
I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
It is in Errol. It is on Umbagog, like all the way. It's on the.
I used to go snowmobiling up there. That's why. Yeah. Okay.
So like up there, and I booked a show, with a band, a rock band that I was playing with, like. The owner there knew us and liked us and booked me because she's like, all right, it's a new band, but I like you guys. And then that band fell apart.
Oh.
And she booked us for the 4th of July party.
Oh, no.
Up in, like, it's as rural as you get, right? These are loggers coming out to have a good time on the 4th of July. And so I was playing with another band, and I was like, all right, we're gonna play this show because we got to go up to the show. And we go up for this 4th of July party, Independence Day. In like, and they're the heaviest thing that this band does is like Chuck Berry rock and roll.
Oh yeah.
And mostly original music that is a little bit off the, it's a little odd original music, right?
Yeah. Like,
and we're scheduled to play for 3 hours. We played for our first hour and this 6'3" guy with a beard and a Bud Light hat on comes and shouts at, like, the guitarist is just over there, like, taking his little noodly solo. And this guy looks at me and shouts over the PA, "We're gonna kill you if you don't play some real music."
Oh my God.
And this is the last song of the set. Like, and I'm like, oh Lord, we got more hours to go. What are we gonna do?
Yeah.
And
oh my God. No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. So and like we'd planned, like I was a bass player in this band and I'd brought an acoustic guitar and we're like, oh, we'll do some acoustic songs between. Like, we're not playing any acoustic songs in between. I ended up just plugging my acoustic guitar into an amp, cranking it. The other guitarist played bass. We just flipped and we played some of the old rock songs that I knew from previous bands. Like, I was playing Jimi Hendrix on an acoustic guitar.
Oh my God.
Distorted. We were playing like Simple Man, Skinner. Like, I was pulling things out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And we got the crowd on our side and we didn't get murdered.
Oh, good.
But my friend, the guitarist, he didn't register that they weren't enjoying it. And he came out, like, after the first set, he was just like, "Hey, what did that guy say?" I'm like, "He said he was going to kill us if we don't play some real songs." And he just goes white. And he's like, "What are we going to do?" But we pulled it out and we managed it.
Wow.
If there's any audience target audience you don't want to get mad, it's 6 foot tall lumberjack guys.
Lumberjacks on the 4th of July who've been drinking since noon.
Yes.
And are now angry that you're like, "Hey, down Louisiana, down in New." Like, that is not the rock and roll that we want. Get out of here.
Yeah.
That ain't it.
They will throw trees at you.
Yeah.
Wow.
We saved it. So yeah, there've been, that's the best one.
Oh man. So where did we go over that one? I know exactly. So your speed of venues, do you happen to have a dream venue that you could you would want to perform if you could pick one?
A dream venue.
Yeah.
I'm not a guy with grand ambitions as it relates to this. I had them when I was younger. I gave them up, and it's made my life much happier.
Sure.
So I don't think of myself like at the Royal Albert Hall or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like I've played so many breweries, and I'm kind of getting done with breweries.
Okay.
I like to play places where people come to listen, as opposed to it's having
background noise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a victory, right? You play a brewery and you get attention. It's like, I'm doing something right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a proving ground, and it has been for me for several years. But small theaters are amazing. I would say, like, just this is random, but just because of what it would mean for me to like sell out a small theater in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay,
right, like a 200-seat theater. That would be the dream, the pinnacle of where I could ever see myself as
little
a musician.
Me in this little like, old town.
The Lincoln Theater in Columbus, where the Milk Carton Kids did a live album there. Like that's 300 seats or whatever, or like the Colonial in Keene or the Calvin. Again, that is beyond what I ever expect to do. But as far as a dream, that would be it.
That's beautiful. It's, you know, and you're not, there's a lot of truth there. Like those small venue events are so special. Like, you know, the ones that are dedicated to music performances, because it allows the audience to really, you know, listen, connect to the music, but then you can interact, you know, in between it and afterwards.
That's it. It's amazing to watch a performance and be floored and be moved by it and then go talk to the person after.
Yeah.
Like, not at a, right? That's not happening at the arena.
Or the stadiums,
the arenas, even a big concert hall. It's not a thing. Yeah. But you could go to the Stone Church in Brattleboro.
Such a cool place, by the way.
Yeah.
And the performer's there. They're selling their own merch after. And it's like, these people are incredible. And you can talk to them and tell them specifically the song that moved you and the point, and they're like there for it. And that is all I would want as an artist. I have no Ed Sheeran ambitions. Like,
I love that.
Yeah, I love that too. No, that's awesome. Nikki, you got a question?
Yeah. Living or dead, an artist that you would like to collaborate with? Or you could do a living and a dead. It doesn't matter. You can do both.
I'll stick to one.
Okay.
And it's a band I mentioned earlier, in fact. Darling Side. These guys are from the Cambridge, Massachusetts area and kind of came up again in the Pioneer Valley scene around Northampton, and now they tour nationally. But if you've never heard them, it's a four-person band, four guys, mostly folk. All four of them sing. They met in an a cappella group, and the arrangements that they create are absolutely magical. They have an album of all their songs. They release a separate album that's just the instrumentals from those songs that is just more beautiful. Like, they strip all the lyrics out, and it's just as amazing.
Wow.
The arrangements they create are absolutely magical. And if I could work with any group or artist, Darling Side is truly a dream for me.
Nikki, you heard that. So your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to get Darling Side in studio with special guest Ian, and we'll get a collab going.
Yeah, we can make some connections happen.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. It's you know, great to have those like I said, inspirations and you know, wants, dreams to you know, hopefully collab with. And you know, you don't want to like say, oh well, it'll never happen. You never know. Like,
life, you gotta manifest that
life
stuff.
Life
manifests.
Life finds a way.
I feel like that's some type of a Disney.
That's Jurassic Park.
Life
finds a way.
You're right. Yes. It
should have been a Halloween costume of mine for many years to dress as Dr. Ian Malcolm.
Oh my God,
an unbuttoned black shirt.
You would
I'd just be there.
You would make the perfect.
I get Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum.
Have your daughters
and Howard Stern.
Have your daughters and like the T-Rex. You know, inflatable costumes walking around with you for Halloween.
Yes.
That would be amazing.
You know, they're still at the age that you can pull that off next year.
That's true.
Right. Oh, man. Okay. We're giving you gold.
That is gold. That's a family Halloween
costume.
That's amazing. Yeah, the girls as dinosaurs. Yes. My wife as Laura Dern.
Yes.
Yes.
And me as Dr. Ian Malcolm.
Oh, please.
Perfect.
And then and I got a friend who has a Jurassic Park painted Jeep Wrangler. So
no way.
Yeah. So we'll hook you up.
Oh my god. Or at least like just use it to pose in front of for a photo op. That's your Christmas card. For yeah.
Yes.
It's look at this. It's all becoming a thing.
It's a thing now. Oh man. So now that you have gotten reached this point in your music career and you have all this experience with what it takes to get to where you've gotten, would you happen to have any advice that you would like to give to any aspiring musicians out there?
Aspiring musicians out there. We've touched on some stuff in this conversation. The music market is saturated beyond belief, right? 100,000 songs a day. So you need to do this because you love it. Mm. If you're starting to do music because Taylor Swift's job looks cool,
that ain't it.
That ain't
don't.
It. Nope.
That, you're making a mistake. And the thing that I would say that I see a lot, I think, is people going all in on their on promotion and social media before they have the other stuff figured out. Yeah. Like, worry about getting good before you worry about your online presence.
Like, kind of like a put your money where your mouth is type. Yeah.
That's a big thing for a young artist. And there are plenty of young artists who are very good, but it's a trap to be like, oh, I got to get 5,000 followers on my Instagram and then I can work on my next EP. Like, that's probably not it.
Nope.
Worry about getting good so that strangers at the open mic are saying, wow, that was great. And then work on your social media. Because, again, it's all your Instagram followers are not necessarily your fans. Your Spotify listeners are not necessarily your fans. Yeah. Your fans are the ones who come to your show.
Right.
Because there's no money in Instagram unless you're a 10 out of 10.
Yep.
And that's not music money, right? It's influencer money.
Yep.
And there's no money on Spotify unless you hit the lottery. So, the people who are coming to your shows and buying your tickets and buying your t-shirts and your stickers or your CDs or whatever it is and supporting you actually, those are your real fans. And don't worry about the social media numbers first. Worry about those after. They'll show up. Are you? My reach isn't far. I've got less than 900 on Instagram. But I can get people out to shows, and that's what I care about, is the relationships I have with these people.
Sure.
And I know them by name, and they know me by name, and it's just a different thing. So, be good before you worry about, oh, I don't have enough Spotify listeners, or that's not what it's about.
Right. Yeah. Be good, because if I see you at an open mic and I like what I hear, you're damn right I'm going to come up to you with my card and be like, wow, you sounded great. I'd love to have you on your show, so you better come
prepared. That's how you get on the Musical Chairs of Massachusetts.
You better come prepared with, five or six songs and not just this one-off that you pulled out of,
It's all about, authenticity over the other word I was thinking of.
Yeah, where are you going with this?
Authenticity over... oh, my God, that was so good, too.
Authenticity over...
It was another A word. Anticipation? No, it wasn't anticipation. Oh, man.
We'll circle back to that.
We'll circle back.
So I did happen to notice, Ian, that you have a second guitar with you.
I do. Here it is.
Here it is. And is there a song?
It's my emotional support guitar.
Oh, okay.
There is a song that I play that on, yes.
Okay.
It's in a different tuning, and I don't like retuning my whole guitar.
Mike Martin did something very similar where he did, a drop D to play Name by the Goo Goo Dolls?
Yes.
He had to put a different string on it because it would have broke with normal Name? Tuning. Yeah.
Is it Name that's in
it? Yeah.
Was it Name?
Yes.
I love that song. That's one of my favorite songs ever recorded. I think it's in D, 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 G, D.
Yes.
Or
exactly
some insane thing.
Yeah.
So he played it. It's just five D strings and an A string or something.
But he had to put
he wouldn't be able to tune.
Yeah.
Oh, no. He had a separate guitar just for that.
Just for that one song.
Just for that one song.
Yeah.
Great song.
And he had the strings on it, because he's like, I would have broken the strings on, this normal one, so... He brought that one guitar just to play one song.
Oh, yeah.
So
I like it.
So what song do you play on that one, then?
let's get into it. I'm going to take my cans off for a second.
Well, while he's doing that, it's authenticity over artificial.
Artificial. There we go.
Okay.
You know.
Artificiality.
I think that's where I was breaking. My brain was breaking. It's like, there's a little bit more you want to tack onto that word.
Yeah.
But
artificiality, tism.
I know. I think that's, yeah. Basically, you know.
We just make words here.
To have a fan base that you can connect with versus the artificial ones on the social media.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is, you know, mostly bots at this point.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just garbage, bots nonsense.
And
yeah.
Bots and ads. God, so many ads.
Bots, ads, algorithms. Mm. The devil.
You have that in your sound check here. It's a different level.
We can do it. We can run a sound check quick.
Yeah.
I don't want to blow it up. It probably isn't that much louder.
Sound check, people.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. Is that your Martin?
This is my little Martin.
Oh, it's adorable.
Aww. Little travel guitar.
I love that. I was actually looking at a baby Martin when I was looking into my guitar. But I love that. All right. I think we should be good.
All right.
Oh, don't mind that. That's the children that live in the walls.
Oh, cool. You have wall kids here, too?
Yes. Yes, we do. It only gets creepy at night when they laugh.
Yeah, it's just in an old mill. They're just around, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
Womp womp.
All right, so what's the name of this song you're going to play?
This song is called Mount Olympus.
All right.
And this was a song where I had, like, the outline of the idea of the song, vaguely, written in my notes app. And then there was a power outage. It was when one of the ice storms came through last spring.
Oh, yeah.
And knocked out power for a couple of days. I was just sitting, and there were candles everywhere, and I was like, now is a good time to go write that song. And I wrote it that night. I went from vague outline to full song in a night. Again, Mount Olympus.
Zeus looked down from Mount Olympus, king of everything he saw, at the temple where they brought their wishes, and he had all a god could want, believers and a pantheon. Oh, 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 oh. Centuries march ever onward. They changed his name and then forgot. So high above his ruined altars, all that he could do was watch, immortal as an afterthought. What happens when we give up on believing? When the stories that we held stop holding true, what gets lost falls between, and moving on from what we knew, moving on from what we knew. Oh, oh, oh. Watched them swear it was forever, a sacred vow to carry on. For rich or poor, they'd be together. But 3 years later, he was gone. Said it wasn't what he wanted. What happens when we give up on believing? When the stories that we held stop holding true. What gets lost falls between, and moving on from what we knew, moving on from what we knew. Oh, 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 oh. Stumbled through the echo chambers, people shout to hear themselves. Their enemy is cold and faceless, good or evil, nothing else. Certain there is blood to spill. What happens when we give up on believing? When the stories that we held stop holding true? What gets lost or falls between in moving on from what we knew? Moving on from what we knew. Oh, 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 oh.
I am just absolutely in love with that, with your music.
It's also beautiful.
It really is. It really is. It's so well crafted.
Thank you, friend.
I could drive through downtown Boston or Cambridge or whatever, Sturrow Drive, any of them.
With a box truck?
With a box truck. and
you've never heard of that? With all the box trucks get stuck in Sturrow under the bridge? Oh, all the college students?
it could be the most miserable commute out there. And as long as I have Ian's music playing, I am calm.
It's soothing.
It's, yeah. Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah,
it's soothing. And then, you know, just even the backstory that you just gave to that song, like, I can just picture, like, snow falling all gently, like sitting by a fire, listening to that. Like, I don't know. That's what was going through my
definitely.
Mind. Yeah,
definitely. I know. You don't have any music videos out there, do you?
I don't. I've got one that I'm almost finished editing for my new album, nice. One of the songs on my new album. But I don't have music videos. I've got lots of performance videos, and obviously a bunch of these songs are on the streaming, but no music videos.
Oh, we got to hook you up with some music videos.
Let's do it.
Let's figure that out. Yeah, that's great. That's great. You know, I love so much, so very much, just the thought that has gone behind in your you know, lyric crafting and the music on the guitar. And it's just, there's just so, you can tell right away that there's just so much energy, so much emotion, you know, such a beautiful storytelling. It's fantastic, my friend.
Like, thank you so much.
Yeah. You have just a way with, like, wordsmithing too. I notice, like, how you're describing things, and just it all just beautifully comes together. So
thank you so much, Nikki.
Yeah,
it's a lot of work. I'm a nerd, so I've got like a spreadsheet of the songs that I've written in my life, keeping track of the era and kind of as it progresses. That number is not counting like the really bad stuff that I wrote in high school, starting at like the first decent songs.
Yeah.
Is around 240 songs.
Wow.
Wow.
And so there's a lot of practice. There's a lot of practice into getting the words right. And just a massive amount of respect for the other artists that I think do such a great job of that. Like the Josh Ritters of the world. And, you know, the Bob Dylans who are out there getting Nobel Prizes for their lyrics.
Like,
I'm a student of songwriting is a craft, and so thank you.
Well, if you ever come up with a 200 song collection album, let me know. I will pick that up.
Yeah, and then you're going to take a cross country trip and back so you can listen to it.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, there's some of those you don't want to hear, but there's 35 on the streaming services right now. There's 10 on an album I just finished, and there's another. I counted them up the other day. There's about 50 more that I want to release.
That's awesome.
Not, you know, I'm writing all the time.
How many are coming out on that album that's really set to release next year?
There are 10.
10.
There's 9 that are true songs. There's an instrumental in the middle.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Nice. And do you, when you do compose all those and record them, do you do it locally or do you go through like a professional studio?
I do almost all of my production myself. I've got a home studio.
Oh, wow.
Very cool.
That is cool.
That's an art form in itself.
Yeah,
it's mastering. Own whole thing.
It really
the
is.
Mixing, the production and the mixing and the mastering. I've outsourced some mixing and most of my mastering, but you know, I'm playing almost all the instruments and working on it.
What other instruments do you play besides guitar?
So I'm a bass player as well, not a guitarist who plays bass, but an actual bass player.
Yeah, they're
different things. We bass players are personal about it.
Mm-hmm.
I play enough drums to be dangerous. and enough keyboard to make my way through. And then obviously acoustic and electric guitar, and I love vocal music, so singing a lot of harmonies and that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I love like in the songs where you have like those notes that you carry out, like it's beautiful. Yeah.
I feel like my voice is not at its best.
Really?
So thank you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I know for a fact my voice is not.
And now have you. Oh, please hold.
I know. Actually.
That was not planned.
It never is. Yeah, you should see when Chris has to cough and he'll look at me like this.
I'm like shut the mic off.
Yeah,
like,
shut my mic off.
Getting out of the way.
Yeah.
As I'm talking about, my voice is a little bit shot. So thank you.
Yeah.
Are your children into music at all too? Or are you?
They are. And we're getting there. I've got two little girls at home. And as we said, my wife has been a music teacher and I am a musician. Both of their grandfathers are musicians. There's a lot of music in the family. And so we aren't forcing lessons yet. We're going to start piano with my older daughter soon. But they both sing all the time. My older daughter just figured out whistling a couple of months ago.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like living with a mockingbird. That's just whatever she's...
it's
incessant. But they're both very musical. We have got little jam sessions in my studio. We've got an electronic drum set and a keyboard.
Oh, very cool.
And a bunch of kid-friendly instruments, harmonicas, open tune guitar, ukulele, etc.
Wait till you get to the recorders.
No, none of that. I don't even.
We have recorders. We have penny whistles, but they're not.
Yeah.
I don't even think elementary schools do the whole recorder. Thing anymore.
No, probably not.
Yeah. I don't know. They've got so many more fun like wharf instruments and the boom whackers and all that.
Yeah,
stuff
that's
that
true.
Are more.
Way more fun,
you know.
Yeah.
But my daughter really wants to learn to play flute, and we're like, you got to figure out recorder first, right? You need to have the finger coordination to do this in a certain order.
Yeah,
sure.
To move your finger, like, and we've got my wife was a music teacher, so we've got some wind instruments as well. We've got a trombone, we've got a clarinet, we've got a flute, we've got a saxophone that are just there.
Yeah,
she plays them okay. I can't play at all.
Yeah.
Saxophone just feels weird. Like,
way
years ago, I dated a guy that played saxophone. He went to Berkeley for it, actually.
Oh, wow.
He would just walk around the house. And I'm like, let me try this thing. And like the vibration of the reed and stuff, I'm like, oh, I don't like this.
I can see that would be a tactile thing of like, it's
tickling my lips. I don't like it.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Have your daughters ever like just picked up one of your guitars and just started like strumming it and getting a feel for it at all? Or
they know to leave dad's guitars alone. They've got their own.
Okay.
I don't trust them quite enough. They're also both right-handed, and I am you can't see this on a podcast, but I'm a left-handed guitarist.
Me too. I'm left-handed. I'm not a left-handed guitarist, but I'm a lefty.
And so my guitars don't work for either of them, but we do have right-handed instruments in the house that they are.
Yeah.
So it's the deterrent.
And I think piano is a great gateway instrument to.
You're a little biased.
I know, I am very biased. But
it's true though.
Yeah.
As far as getting an understanding of music theory and thing of just like how a chord is built, it's very confusing on a guitar. Mm-hmm. It's like you put your fingers here, and then multiple versions of the same notes come out.
Yeah.
And this is what a scale looks like. Like that doesn't make any sense. Like a scale looks like this. There's just eight notes in a row. It's much easier conceptually. And there's no pain in playing a piano to start.
Yeah.
You start playing guitar, it hurts, and you've got to just
work out those calluses.
It's calluses, mostly just losing the sensation in your fingertips. Like I can feel things with my left hand that I can't feel with my right hand. Like
the
sensitivity is totally different.
I got blisters on my blisters.
But piano is wonderful. I wish I'd learned to play piano better. And I play a little bit. Most of the songs on this new album are piano based, in fact.
Nice.
But I would not consider myself a pianist.
Same here. Like as much as I enjoy it, I came across a savant pianist, and I was very quickly humbled.
Makes you want to quit everything.
I was like, I'm done. But no, that's great. That's great. I'm glad to see that the musical ambitions will carry on. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Here's hoping.
Right. Well, I'm telling you, I could go for another hour.
Yeah.
Easily.
Easily.
And this has been such a beautiful interview, and I absolutely just a huge fan, Ian.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah. And but before we, you know, say goodbye to the beautiful people, do you have one more song?
One more song.
One more song.
The encore.
So, yeah, this is a love song for my wife. It's called The Little Things.
One day I was on my own, just floating through the motions. 17 and wandering, a kid without a plan. Somehow you were there to help me find the right direction. What you saw in me, I know I'll never understand. But you said you loved the little things no one else could see. You fit my broken edges like a puzzle piece. One day we were married in the house that you grew up in. Your grandpa's story held 100 people misty-eyed. But every day the changes come on just a little faster. It's easy to forget how hard it was to get it right. Working through those little things for the notes to write our melody. One day in the hospital when everything upended, a baby girl with eyes like summer twilight in my arms. A couple years of chaos and a sister came to join her with fire in her spirit and stained glass in her heart. I find you in those little things no one else can see. Patterns in the branches of our history. One day one of us will wake up in this bed half empty and have to keep on living out beyond this life we made. I couldn't say which side of that divide I'd rather wait on. But if I go before you know, I loved you all my days. And I'll find you in those little to the corners of your memory. One day when the atoms that were me have decomposed, and the ones that made up you are out there drifting through the sky, I like to think we'll meet again out there among the stardust. Two pieces in a molecule, together like old time.
I need my...
Yeah, here. Have some microphones. So
now that I'm not coughing anymore.
Yeah, take the attention off me while I get rid of... Oh my god, I'm looking like the
you
Joker
guys do
over
your
here.
Thing, I'll play something else.
Can you play something happy now?
Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
You want me to? Can I end on something happier than that?
Oh, well.
I know that was the end, but.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Boy, howdy.
Y'all need to really see that. He just moved me to tears. Yeah, I'm over here ugly crying, looking like the Joker. Good job, Ian. Good job.
Thanks, Nikki. Thanks for coming along for the ride with me.
Oh,
I did. I was invested.
Oh, yeah.
No, oh, my God.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm good.
You go okay?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good. Okay. I'm good. Okay. I'm good. Wow.
Sure. So, okay. I don't think we've ever hit more than five songs on a
I don't think so either. I mean, this is the first song that
pressure you here.
No, this is I'm telling you, this is we're all about first.
I was a little misty-eyed when, you know, Brian Chafee did his
Rainbow Connections.
Oh, that's a beautiful song. But this is legit freaking I got tears. Wow. All right, this is a first on the show. Nikki is actually bawling.
that's going to go on the wall of first. Ian made Nikki cry.
Yeah. I'm okay with it, though.
But, okay.
You did your job, and you did it well.
Thanks.
You know what? I am all on board. Let's go for it. Let's go for six.
Yeah.
Okay.
One little happier thing.
Yeah.
Something fun.
Yeah. We like fun around here.
Fun. This is a song that I wrote very recently. It's one of my newest songs. It's called On Borrowed Time. And a friend of mine showed up at a brewery gig that I was playing. A friend from high school that I had not seen since high school, right? Because I moved away from my hometown. I don't live there anymore. And it just got me, he surprised me. He didn't tell me he was coming. He just shouted at me after my first set. And I was like, my God.
That's awesome.
This is why it was so cool. It was great to see him. But it just had me thinking the whole way as I was driving home about, you know, these people that I would see every single day of my young life who I haven't seen in almost 20 years.
Yeah.
And I know I said it's a happy song. And it is. It is just, it's kind of a song for my hometown.
Cool.
And I hope you hear that. It's a song for your hometown as well. It's called On Borrowed Time.
We were the best of friends, a couple of kids in a town that had run out of dreams. Spending our nights on the ice by the courthouse, skating till we couldn't breathe. Playing like the cup was really on the line, living on borrowed time. On borrowed time. Down by the covered bridge, the summer alive like an ember that burst into flame. Jump off the dam or we'd lie on the rocks and just argue for arguing's sake. Waiting by the tracks to hear that whistle cry, living on borrowed time. On borrowed time. Looking back, it feels like a different life. Another time, a dream that I once knew. We're caught in a photograph, a couple of kids on the night when the world set us free. Having the time of our lives, we were singing like heaven was just out of reach. Chasing down forever under open skies, living on borrowed time. On borrowed time. On borrowed time, yeah. On borrowed time.
Well, I'm glad we borrowed a little bit extra time on the broadcast.
Hey, I see what you did there. Hey-o. So, Ian, can you tell the folks where they can find you?
They can find me at Ian Gallopo Music all across the web. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Instagram mostly. I'm on Facebook. I'm on YouTube. Ian Gallopo Music is my handle on any of them. If you just, iangallopomusic.com. I'm, of course, on the streaming platforms, Spotify and Apple Music, and you can ask Alexa to play Ian Gallopo, and she'll find me.
Oh, that's beautiful.
In there.
Also creepy, but beautiful.
And if you...
you got the robots on your side.
If you choose to pay for music, you can find me on Bandcamp as well as some old albums that aren't on the streaming platforms.
And I highly recommend you folks checking him out, finding his content, and sign up to his newsletter. He has a beautiful newsletter that he works hard on, with great content, great news about his upcoming stuff. So make sure you sign up.
Yeah, you can sign up for it on my website or through a link tree.
Perfect.
We like link trees around
link
here.
Link tree.
Oh, yeah.
/ Ian Gallopo Music, in fact. That's it's easy to find.
Yeah, and we'll make sure to include that in the
show notes.
In the show notes.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. This has been a wonderful way to spend the Saturday.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, God, yeah.
This has been a long, long time coming. Like I said, you were one of the first people that came to mind when we first started this podcast.
For sure.
Yeah, because, I mean, the day that...
I am honored.
Well, so the day that you did the coffee house sessions at the Brew Barn,
yeah,
that particular day, you know, we used to work together, Chris and I, you know, just got to talk. Oh, yeah, what do you like to do? You know, oh, you do photography, you do music stuff. Yeah, me too. So he had asked me to help him out run that, coffee house session. So that's where, you know, I had met you. And it was from there, you know, once we got about two of those sessions in, I was like, this would make a really cool podcast.
Yeah.
So when it all kind of... Yeah. So then when it all kind of came to life, I'm like, we need to get Ian on here.
yep.
So I'm glad you came in and we made this happen.
I'm so happy. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much. Guys, this has just been an incredible episode. I'm so thrilled to have our guest here, Ian, and just get to, like, I feel guilty because I feel like we've had our own little private concert. But we are happy to share this with the world.
Of course.
You know, and we are so incredibly, I'm getting choked up. we are so incredibly just happy to share this with you. And again, make sure you go check Ian's stuff out. Make sure you follow him and, you know, show him your love and support. Just talented talent. So, guys.
On that note.
Guys, thank you again for watching another episode of the Musical Chairs in Massachusetts. You can also find us out there on YouTube and all mainstream podcasting platforms. So make sure, whether you watch us or listen to us, support us, because your support for us helps support our musicians that we feature. And that's what's really important. So, guys, thank you again. Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you, Chris and Nikki. That's great.
And that's been it. So,
that's it.
Bye.
Toodles. The Musical Chairs in Massachusetts has been handcrafted for your listening pleasure. Hosted by Chris Guerra. Co-hosted and produced by Nikki Cross. Audio engineering and talent booking by Nikki. Audio, video engineering and graphic designs by Chris. Theme song written and recorded by Route 2 Revolution. This has been a CG Broadcasting production.